Good morning, family of God. Praise the Lord. So there are needs represented here, amen? And we know the one who has the answer, who is the answer, and who can take care of all those. And I'll tell you, He already is. He's already at work. He's not surprised. He knows these things before they happen, and He loves us. So the outcome has to be what? Good. It has to be for the kingdom's sake, amen? The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our treasure needs to be in heaven, amen? We get blessings down here, but the treasure needs to be in heaven. We need to know and never forget God's in control and God's the one with the power. We need to always remember that the Bible says the battle is the Lord's, but the victory is ours. And we are not victims. We are victors. Amen. It's become very evident to me, as I'm sure it has to you, that after we've talked about this, that it seems like it's even more prevalent now about the two scriptures. One talks about the afflictions, that there's many afflictions out there, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And the tribulations. It says, in this world you will have tribulations. It's a given. But that's not the final story. That's not the end of the story. Be of good cheer, because God has overcome. Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? And we're not subject to the principalities and powers of the air. We're subject to the Almighty God. If we've given our lives to Him, then we are subject to the Spirit of God, which rules and reigns in us, or should be. So it doesn't make any difference what comes. We know that God is in control, and that what we see, what we hear, the attacks are not the end of the story. Amen? Amen? Let's pray this morning. Father, right now we thank You for this time together, Lord. This is Your time, Lord. It's Your people. It's Your service. And Lord, this morning we lift up all who were mentioned. Mary, Jamie, Lowell, Dave's aunt. And if I've missed one, forgive me, Lord, but You know who they are. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I speak and send Your word into every situation. Lord, You, the battle's Yours and the victory is ours. I thank You, Lord, for Your supernatural intervention in these situations. Lord, we don't want spectacular, we want supernatural. We want changes in the lives. We want people touched. We want people delivered. So because of that, we do send the word right now and say, be whole in every situation, no matter what it is. For Jerry and Kathy, Lord, You know, for her son, her grandsons. Lord, we just thank You that You're intervening right now. We pray for peace in Dave's life and peace in the aunt's life. Pray that she knows. We send Your word for salvation if salvation is required, Lord, and is needed. Lord, that You'll get glory and that You'll receive her to Yourself, Lord. Father, we thank You that Jamie's, the prognosis is and the diagnosis is, Lord, it's attacks from the enemy. It's lies from the enemy. We walk in health because of what You did on the cross, Lord Jesus. So right now, we proclaim that we have the victory, that all who we lift up in Your name this morning, Lord, have the victory, and Lord, that Your kingdom is being built. Your kingdom is receiving glory and honor, and You're receiving glory and honor, Lord, because of what You started and what You did at the cross and prior to the cross, Lord. We praise and thank You in Jesus' name. Thank You for this service, Lord, and now have Your way and Your will in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees? Say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Testimonies. That's what we're going to receive out of this. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning. God's given me a title. And this can you can take this one of two ways. It's like the title is, Where is Your Faith? And you can take it like, where is it that have I misplaced it or you've misplaced it or something? Or you can say, what is your faith on? Are you trusting in God in every situation? You can turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1, or chapter 10, excuse me, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll read verse 27 also. I want to ask you a question this morning. Which one of you, or myself included, can change the course of anything in your own strength. Which one of you has control over the circumstances in your life? There's only one way. It's through Jesus. We don't have control other than the fact that we keep our focus on the Lord. And it doesn't make any difference what situation or what circumstance or what issue is before us. God is the one who is in control, not us. Sometimes we get the impression we got to help God along. We got to do something to help him, to get the process done or taken care of. And that's a lie. The only thing that's required of us is obedience to what God says and what God requires of us. And there's only one way to please him, and that's through faith. Amen? Amen. We are not out of control if he is in control. Amen. So our focus and our attention needs to be on the fact that there's not one thing that we can change in our own strength or with our own wisdom in our lives. God says, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will show you great and mighty things that you can't even conceive, that you don't know. So when you have a concern or you have an apprehension or you have what I'm going to call just basically a fear in your life, and sometimes we react in ways we don't understand that it's really fear in operation in our life. And we're all subject to that unless we stay in His presence. He says nothing will be able to separate us from His love. He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And the things that concern Him, He is the one who's perpetuating what is going on in those circumstances, not us. The flesh is not in control. It's a hindrance in many situations in God's kingdom. Amen. Let's read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. It says, most assuredly, thank you, Lord, for your word. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, or if you will allow me, that you might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly, or you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I want to say to you this morning, the voice of a stranger can be come in many different ways. It can even come from somebody who's close to you. Spouse, a loved one, family member, son or daughter, husband or wife. And the only way you're ever going to know that it's the enemy or the stranger is if you are wrapped up in God, in His knowledge. And if you allow God to control your thoughts, and if you allow God to deal with the situations. When God sets something in motion, I don't care what our position is, in the church or out of the church, again, what authority you have or you think you have, God is the one who's ultimately in control. And it'll get done because He wants it done. And He'll do it in spite of us. Amen? Does God have that ability? And the minute things start to get screwed up or things start to go sour is when we try to be involved and we try to figure some way that we're going to get it done for Him. Amen? The last sentence in Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says, "For whatever is not from faith is sin." I must have been in a hurry when I wrote this because I forgot to write the R on ever and I in faith. We got the point across. Let me tell you what faith in that scripture means. It means conviction of the truth. I don't know about any of you, but I know every time I've tried to help God or I've tried to get involved in something that it was God's business and I thought because of whatever reason I needed to be involved, it got screwed up. Amen. Amen. Now you all know what I'm talking about. Don't sit there like you're innocent. It got screwed up because I was involved. God doesn't need my help. He needs my obedience. Faith is the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, or the provider. We read Romans 8:28 and says, but the scripture that says, "He who has begun a good work in you will perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ." When God's plans are in motion, He's going to get it accomplished with or without us. Sometimes we get involved in things we got no business getting involved in. In other words, like the old saying says, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. We need to be very careful that we examine our hearts, that we look to God, the author. Listen carefully. He is the author, the one who began the good work in us, and the finisher of our faith. And He doesn't need our help. He needs our obedience. God has a plan. That plan's going to come to pass. You can bank on it. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Faith is a belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, fidelity or faithfulness. When God begins a work, we don't need to do anything except obey what He says. If we get involved in trying to help that work along, and whatever that may look like, we're wrong. Amen. Amen. We're wrong. We need Him. He doesn't need us, except that He desires fellowship with us. He created us for Him. But we need Him. Now, there's one respect where He does need us, and that's to obey and to be His hands and feet and mouth in this earth. But that doesn't mean getting in the middle of His business and stepping out ahead of Him and going places where we got no business going. Saying things we got no business saying. Being involved in matters that are not our place. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." God's plans are not based on and don't come to pass based on our ability, but His. We sing the song, "If He's not Lord of everything, He's not Lord of all." Sometimes, in the call of God, we take on responsibility that's just not ours. Or should I say, we take on tasks that are just not ours to take on. God calls us and requires us to be good stewards of what He gives us. But that is an issue between God and the individual. And if you're taking care of your own life, you don't see what other people are doing. You see where you need to change. Is the mirror a mirror for me to point or for you to point at somebody and say, "This is where you're wrong. This is where you've missed the boat"? How many of you are going to stand and listen to that for 5 seconds? I don't think a person in this house will. There are things that we need to just let rest in the hands of God. our intervention is not going to help it, and it's not going to hinder it. It could hinder it. Scripture says, consider your ways. God has the ability to deal with people in situations if there's wrong or if they're missing the mark someplace. It doesn't mean we can't speak a word of encouragement. But a word of encouragement does not tear down and destroy or attack. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Listen, what I'm ministering this morning, I sought God for a long time, and I was apprehensive. This is not to tear people down. But as much as your relationship with God every day is being in His presence and praying with Him, it's also letting God reveal to you where you're wrong and where you need to repent. And I'm not the person who's your judge or the person who is out to set you straight. If the Word of God sets you straight, then God's done it. I'm not the one to do it, and you're not the one to do it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." You know, that's interesting that I keep leaving the I out of these things as I wrote them down. Because I am not involved other than the fact that I know what God says. That's where my involvement begins and ends, is to be obedient and to do what God tells me to do. There is concern. As family of God, there's concern for one another. But our concern is not going and pointing out faults to one another. The Bible says, confess your faults. It means, in other words, if you've got something going on, confess your fault one to another. And then we can pray together, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Amen? Amen. When God institutes a work, whether it's in our lives or in another person's life or in a circumstance, whose work is it? Is it ours? I see one head shaking, but I don't hear any answers. My question to all of us this morning, starting right here, is God in control or not? Do we want God in control, or do we want to be in control? One of the things the Scripture talks about and asks is, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope, put your trust in God. Amen? We're never out of control if He's in control. But we need to realize in every circumstance, in every situation, He's in control. And we step in, whether we realize what we're doing or we don't, and try to usurp the job of the Holy Spirit, it usually ends up with somebody being hurt or ends up in disaster or a bad situation. Amen. See, I can tell you that because I was the master of this in my young Christian life and my young Christian ministry. I was the master of disaster. It wasn't until God revealed to me that I am not the Holy Spirit. And it's not my job to go out correcting people. And in the call of God on my life, and just as it is in every life, whether it's in the fivefold ministry or in the lay ministry or whatever, in the call of God on every person's life, if somebody comes to us, then we have the ability, because they've asked us, to come and share and to share the truth with them. But it's God who is the one who does the convicting. When we try to do it, all it does is bring condemnation to a person's life. Amen. I'm not trying to be hard on anybody, but I'm telling you, once again, consider your ways. And God's telling every one of us to do that. Consider our ways. And I can tell you, every time a situation comes up or you feel the need to go and correct somebody or put somebody in a place or try to bring a situation before them, what you're doing is leaving God out. And instead of conviction coming, condemnation comes. Amen? Come on, y'all. You know it's the truth. Condemnation does not come from God. And the enemy doesn't even have to be involved. Sometimes we got a thought in our head, and it's our plan, and we're going to do something about it, and we never ask God anything. You know, I'm reminded of the story that Stan told one time. Some people were here in this church when the situation happened. There was infidelity. A man came into the church one morning, broken, angry. And instead of letting his heart consume what was in his heart consuming, he cried out and said, "Man, y'all need to pray for me because I'm about to go kill somebody." Well, you can understand, man. His wife's out fooling around with somebody. Another member of the church, in fact. And just prior to that, Pastor Stan got all the word together, got it all put together, and got his notes there, and he was headed out the door. And as soon as he touched the doorknob, God said to him, he said, Stan, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm going to go take care of the situation. He said, what's that in your hand? He said, it's your word. He said, that's right, and you'll use it when I tell you to. Hello? You use it when I tell you to. It's word given to us, but it's still His word, and He decides who and when, if anybody, is going to go and deal with a situation, not you and I. And because that man raised his hand that morning, they prayed for him, God restored that relationship, they renewed their vows, and got remarried. Because man's hand was not involved. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? God does not need our help. He needs our obedience. Our responsibility in situations that we see that we don't understand or that may not look like they're right, we need to go to God. The Word says, let God be true and every man a liar. That means even your spouse can speak words that are not truth to you. Your children can speak words that are not true to you, that motivates you to do something about something you got no business being involved in. Your friends. Who's ruling your heart? Who's ruling your spirit? Who's ruling your life? Is God in control or is He not? And only you can answer that in Him. It's not my business. I want God in control of my life. Because then I can't knowingly or even unknowingly, hopefully, go out and hurt anybody, any one of you. If He's in control and I'm really listening to Him and I'm considering my ways, then my focus is so much on me that my thoughts before I ever go out and do anything are, God, start here. Start right here. How many know what I'm talking about? God loves us. We need to remember what the Scripture says. Do unto others as they would have them, as you would have them do unto you. When you set out to do something, consider whether or not God is behind it, and whether God is going to use, if God's going to be able to use it for good, or God's going to have to heal somebody because of the fact, or deliver somebody from condemnation and from guilt or harm that you caused by being disobedient, by being in the flesh and not in the spirit. We're not supposed to have our fingerprints on anybody. We've seen people come and go in this church. And I can thankfully thank God that my handprints are not on them. If they left, they left because they were angry, but they, you know, and but I'm not the one who dispatched them from here. And I know that none of you did either. I pray none of you did either. But we need to understand that sometimes our thoughts, our ways are detrimental to bringing peace, bringing help, and bringing deliverance to people. Because we're acting in our own selves. We're not acting by the Spirit of God. You may be 110% right in what you're feeling and what you're doing and what you feel, you know, and maybe you do see something wrong. But whose responsibility is it? Is it yours or is it God's? What is my responsibility? My responsibility is to go to God and say, God, you know, I'm not sure about what I see. I don't like this, Lord. There's something wrong here. And to pray for that individual. Amen? Our ways are not God's ways, and God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And you need to understand that God looks at the heart of people. He doesn't look at the circumstances. He looks at the heart of people. And by acting in that way, we've gone back under acting under the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death will bring sin and death. It will not bring freedom. We're supposed to be walking in the perfect law of liberty. And the same grace that God has showed us, we're supposed to show to other people. Amen? Y'all agree? Am I preaching the truth to you this morning, or am I just up here blithering? And we need to be cognizant that our words and our actions can hurt other people. Amen? And so we need to be very careful that we're hearing the Spirit of God and not like Stan getting ready to go out the door. He was right in what he was doing. He was the pastor. He had an obligation to do whatever God showed him to do. But the point is, you do it when God shows you, not when you feel like it. When God puts together a ministry, or a calling on somebody's life, He's the one who is equipped and who equips others to fulfill that ministry. And He's the one in control. It's not going to happen by our intervention. It's going to happen because it's His ministry. If we get involved, then we have done... Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, in that same situation, when we see or feel something, or we get outside influence about a situation that we feel is a situation, and you know what? Your senses can get you in trouble. Your senses can get you in trouble. Why? Because you're walking in the sensual, you're not walking in the Spirit. Now, this is not the way it should be, but we all know that it's easy to offend people who are not mature. Amen. We forget how easy it is to offend us in certain matters. We hear something that gets a little too close to home and we get offended. Maybe it wasn't even intended. Maybe it wasn't directed at us, but we hear something, we get convicted, and all of a sudden we become offended. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. Not in your ability, not in what you think, not in what you think you see. How many know our eyes can deceive us? Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. When God calls us to a position of leadership or authority in the church, it's not our position, it's still His position. And our position should be, God, You're in control, but Lord, here's the situation. I bring it before You. I surrender it to You, and I release it. I back off. I get my hands off so that You can do what You need to do. Amen? Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your actions, acknowledge Him. And what did it say? And He shall, not maybe, or with our help, He shall direct our paths or your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When we act on our own accord without the Holy Spirit giving direction, and when we try to do it before we've ever gone and asked God, we create issues. That's the evil that we're supposed to depart from. God does not need our help in the respect that it's our job to go and show somebody something that's going on and try to deal with it. When we prayed this morning, one of the things you heard me say is, Lord, I send Your word. And what's going to bring the change? His word, His intervention, not my intervention. My place of intervention is to pray, to trust God, and to release you like I hope you release me into His hands. And let Him do the chastening, not us. I've had to go through in my life and go back and repent about some things where I hurt people because of my zealousness, because I was a zealot. And until the Holy Spirit showed me, I didn't even realize I was doing wrong. That's because I didn't know back then. I didn't know back then what it looked like to be in the ministry, to be a minister for God. And I'm not talking about the fivefold ministry only. I'm talking about to be a minister for God. Ministers of God are there to set people free, not heap condemnation on them. In closing, if you want to turn there, you're welcome to. If you don't, that's fine. I'm going to start with Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 14, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 of chapter 6. And I thank the Holy Spirit that He is responsible for this word, not me. My responsibility is the same as a chef, which I know Brian can understand. My responsibility is to prepare the food. What you do with it and what God does with it, the Spirit of God does with it, after that is not my business. It's none of my business. But if you heed what the Word says and what God has put on my heart this morning, for me as well as for you, you're going to see good fruit come from it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, not like an exorcist, but exercised like exercise, to discern both good and evil. And that means it starts before you ever open your mouth or make a move. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the good heavenly gift, and this is talking about people who have backed off, who have left what they knew. They've made a confession. God said, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is where I'm supposed to be. And they all of a sudden, because they get a kink in their colon or their undies in a bunch, they're out the door. Do you know what I'm talking about? No? For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Now, I can't tell you I totally understand this. So I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to me and to you as I share this. Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. For the earth which drinks in the rain and often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Now, what I'm sharing with you this morning is not designed to be condemning, but for us to evaluate where we are. And I can tell you right now, I am not in a place where I am perfect enough or have the wisdom enough to judge any person or what they do, nor is it my business to. And it's not your business either. You think it's a picnic sitting up here in the pulpit having to preach some of these messages and be a pastor? You better think again. And once again, I'll tell you, anybody who wants my job, I will gladly give it to them. You can receive all the phone calls in the middle of the night. You can be the one to go to the hospitals and pray for people or do the funerals of the loved ones of the people in your congregation. You can be the one who gives up your entire life practically because of the family of God, because of the heart that God's put in you to be a pastor. That was offered to a couple here not many years ago, and they rejected it and ran. It was all ready to be handed over to them, and they rejected it and ran because the price was too much. If God's really called you and anointed you, you're going to see people's lives change. You're going to see hearts change. And you're going to see people blessed. But the biggest job we have is to make sure we don't get out of control or uppity in our position and calling. And the office or job that God's given us in His kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
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 God loves us with an everlasting love. And just because we made a mistake doesn't mean that God's done with us or that He's backed off. Once again, God doesn't hold us accountable for what we don't know. He holds us accountable for what we know. That's the thing we'll have to give an answer to in the day of judgment. If you're saved, you're saved. Disobedience does not only hurt God. Well, in fact, it hurts God, but the reason it hurts God is because it hurts you. And it hurts God because He loves you and I so much. Amen. He loves us so much that when we get caught in something wrong, I mean, He grieves because He loves us. We need to be careful. We need to be good stewards of what God's given us and the responsibility that God's given us. And part of being a good steward is knowing what to do, when to do it, as He reveals it to us, but also knowing when to back off and hush up and let Him deal with the situation. And understand that if this is His work, if you and I are His work, if this church is His work, it's His business, and He's got it under control. I don't. You're not my people, you're God's people. I'm one of God's people. Amen? Hallelujah. I love you. God loves you. And I want only the very best for all of you. I would remind all of us that with authority comes responsibility. Never heard that before. Oh, lighten up. You know what I'm talking about. We have responsibility to one another, but we also have a primary responsibility that supersedes and far extends and excels over our responsibility to one another. It's a responsibility to God. Because remember, everything you do and everything you say reflects God in your life or reflects your flesh in your life that's not under control. Amen? Praise the Lord. God doesn't condemn, He convicts. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens and chastises every son. But unlike humans, unlike some parents, when He chastises, He doesn't tear down and destroy and make you feel worthless at the end. He comes to you and says, I got a better way. This is the way. Walk in it. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. The Bible says, woe to those to whom offenses come. That's immaturity. When you get offended, what you've done is you've given control of your life to somebody else in some circumstance. Don't do that. The only person I want in control of my life is God. I don't even want me in control, because I've already seen what that brings, and I don't like it. Don't shout me down now. I've already seen what that looks like. I want Him in control. And I don't want any person offended or hurt by anything I say or do. But if I do, please understand, it's not by my desire. And it's not by, how do I say this? It's by accident. It's not on purpose. So I'm telling you, I'm a human being. I can make a mistake. We're all human beings. We can make mistakes. The key is to be able to say, I made a mistake. And you don't have to come and tell somebody unless God tells you to. And go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I apologize. I repent. What made David such a great man in the eyes of God and a man after God's own heart was the fact that he was quick to run to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I've done wrong. I've sinned in your eyes. And repentance means turn from it. Don't do it again. And when you do that, you understand and you know that your salvation is sure. It's sure. You're safe. You're safe. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do y'all still love me? Praise the Lord. I don't know why I didn't do this earlier. I guess because I had it on my heart, you know, that God wanted to get this message out. That's another thing. When in the office of a pastor and God gives you things like that, you know, you got to look out at the people and stuff, you know. It gets uncomfortable. If you don't believe it, come and try it sometime. Amen? I know those who have done it. Harry has said, you know, it's difficult to stand up here. Even Harry said that. Close your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up your people to you, Lord. You love them, Lord. You love us all. And Lord, your only thoughts for us are for good and not for evil. To prosper and not to harm us, and to give us a hope and a future. Father, I pray for every person who's struggling here today, no matter what the struggle is. I pray for deliverance and victory and joy to overwhelm them spiritually, physically, emotionally. I thank you that you are the answer, Lord, in their life. And that you bring victory because the battle's not ours, it's yours, Lord. we are the victors. We're the ones who are more than overcomers. Father, I pray for each person that no heart this morning will feel condemnation. But as your Spirit moves, Lord, that if they feel conviction, that they would run to you, Lord, and get release from that conviction, Lord. And that your love would be manifest in a new way. And that joy unspeakable and the full of glory would just come now and rest on each one of your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. Father, where I need to repent, Lord, I say right now, Lord, I confess and I repent before you. I'm sorry, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for every heart that's repenting before you now, Lord. That's considering their ways, examining their own selves, Lord. Not examining somebody else, but examining themselves, Lord. And for your speaking to them. Wrapping your loving arms around them. For blessing them right now. I'm reminded of that song, Lord, that says, the Lord is blessing me right now. The Lord is blessing me right now. You woke me up this morning, you started me on my way, and you're blessing me right now, Lord. Thank you for your blessings on your people right now, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, right now I proclaim and I thank you, Lord, that we are free. And because you set us free, we're free indeed. Come against the plan or the attack of the enemy. We come against condemnation that does not come from you, Lord, and we put it down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take and give God his tithes and our offerings this morning. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to be in your house this morning and to be before you. We ask you to bless each and every person that's here today, Heavenly Father. We ask that each of us has received what you had for us this morning, and that we can go forward and walk in that and live by that, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless this offering that we are about to receive. We ask you to bless each and every person that's here today, too. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for speaking through me. Lord, right now, I pray for your blessing on your people, Lord. I thank you that your face shines upon them, that goodness and mercy follow them, that they're blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship by breaking bread in your name and in your presence and you being part of it, Lord. So we just sanctify the food now. We sanctify the fellowship. We thank you for your provision for meeting our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, go with your people, Lord. Amen.